Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Robertson, also known as Goldfinger, over at CEO.ca. Also, I think well known on our website, as Robert has been sharing with us a number of his commentary, mostly dealing with the metal sector. But you know what? Robert also covers a number of companies as well. I read over his note to subscribers every day when he sends it out. Robert, let's start off by talking about the Fed. It's coming up tomorrow. Finally, we will have, I think, a taper announcement coming, and we'll be able to see how the markets at least initially react. But I even posted something earlier today from Peter Buchvar that's broken down the last 12 years of market reactions to Fed tapers and rate hikes. And we have actually seen a bit of a delay sometimes in a pullback in the markets. But overall, look, the U.S. equity markets, they do continue to trend higher. A number of broad averages continue to hit or at least come close to all-time highs. There seems to be this reopening trade that's continuing, and energy continues to be an outperformer here. But Robert, in terms of maybe two different directions that you could see the markets going in reaction to the Fed starting a taper process, and I think that's important, it will be more of a slow process. What are you watching for? What's going to be critical in your eyes tomorrow when we hear from the Fed?
Well, Corey and Chad, you know, it's good to be back on the show. And I think that tomorrow will be very interesting to see what the Fed exactly says and hints as to the flexibility of the taper, what they're watching for to guide the taper. And then, of course, the rate hike cycle and the timing of that. I mean, obviously, the Fed so far has kind of downplayed the possibility of a first rate hike, but the market is basically already now pricing in two rate hikes by the end of next year. But yeah, there would be a lot to parse through in the Fed statement, and obviously Powell's press conference, everybody will be looking for him. You know, the market does not want to be surprised. And so, you know, if they do what's expected, it's a $15 billion taper that wraps up around June of next year, and they kind of talk down or downplay, you know, the rate hike to maybe the end of 2022 would be the first hike at the earliest, I think that's generally going to be a positive for stocks and probably even for gold. But obviously, if the Fed talks more hawkish and says, well, you know, I know we've been saying transitory this and transitory that, but now we're actually really worried about it, and we're going to have to be more aggressive in the tightening. That could roil everything, and it could send gold dropping quite a bit lower. It could also send the stock market lower. You know, we're at a very high level here in terms of valuations across a lot of asset classes, and that leaves a lot of downside possible.
Well, Robert, you mentioned in a missive in one of your letters last week, you know, those two scenarios where either an admission that inflation is not transitory, and as it starts ratcheting higher, they'd have to play catch up and be historically behind the curve. But you also mentioned the other scenario that they may start tapering into slowing growth. And if they taper into slowing growth, it could put the brakes on some of the things in the general market. So in that kind of a scenario, how do you think the precious metals would respond?
Well, I mean, I think the taper is pretty much guaranteed at this point. I just don't know how far they will go and if they will hike rates in middle of, you know, next year. The faster they go, the more aggressive they are in the tightening, the worse it is most likely for gold and silver. But like, you know, you mentioned, Chad, like what happens if the Fed is tapered down to zero and is thinking about that first rate hike or talking about it in the middle of next year? Meanwhile, the economy is starting to really stagnate and inflation expectations have dropped a lot. Then there will be that potential for sort of a backpedal where the Fed says, no, actually, we're not really going to hike and we're going to be more cautious here because the economy is not as strong, you know, as we thought it was. You know, the Fed is trying to really thread a needle here in terms of full employment and stable inflation at around that 2% level. I think it's very hard to achieve both in a perfect time frame. I think, they achieve one, but then inflation is too hot for too long, and then they risk the economy and the employment side of things. And that's sort of what we're walking into here.
So then it really sounds like we don't know what direction these markets are going to go, because really it's about how long the Fed can go through with a taper process, how long they can stay hawkish, because quite frankly, they're being blamed for being too dovish for too long, and now the shift to a bit more tightening, that does change the general narrative. And it also impacts markets like the bond market, I think, more so than others, because just how heavy of a hand the Fed does have in the bond market. Now, we've already seen yields start to rise. Do you think that there is more upside when it comes to yields, which means more of a sell-off in bonds?
Yeah, it's really interesting what we've seen in the bond market in the last 2 weeks, Corey. I mean, short end yields have risen. The 2-year, the 5-year have come up, but the 10-year, the 30-year have come down. So we've seen a flattening of the curve, which historically, especially when the curve goes inverted, which it's not really fully inverted yet, it's just kind of starting to get there at the long end, it's normally been sort of a bad omen for the economy and for the stock market. Normally, the yield curve only inverts when the economy is going into a recession. So I think it's a little early to say that's happening, but it's portending that possibility a year or so out. So that's something the Fed is definitely going to watch for. And it's interesting because normally we think quantitative easing is bond buying. So it should, if there's a lack of quantitative easing and there's not bond buying from the Fed, then bonds should sell off and yields should rise. But what we've seen in the past is when the Fed tightens, the long end of the curve actually gets bid. So people are buying those long-dated treasuries, and yields are going lower. And that's what we just started to see take place. So the market is absolutely ready for the taper to take place and wind up by middle of next year. If anything happens where either the taper is slower or the Fed is much more aggressive on the tightening side of things, then that would be a shock to the market and probably cause a large move.
Well, Robert, it'll be interesting to follow along and see what happens, because the big question remains when the Fed does dial back its tapering and the purchase of $120 billion worth of bonds a month and knocks it down by $15 billion a month. The market's ready for it now in the first month or two, but 3 or 4 months into this, we'll just have to see who is actually buying all these bonds and what happens there. But let's shift it over to the precious metals. I know you're not just great at following the macroeconomic picture, but also you're a very good technician, Robert, and you have a very good eye as far as like the trends and the pricing when you remove the noise of all these market signals and just look at pricing. Where do you see things set up for gold, maybe more in the short term, but then also more in the medium term?
Well, gold has been range bound for what seems like forever. I mean, I know it's just been a few months, but it's been ping-ponging between 1750 and the low 1800s for quite a while. It seems like it's gravitating to this 1800 round number level. And I just sort of blogged here this morning that just sort of highlighted the triangle, just drawing two lines on the chart. Price is coiling in a tightening range near 1790 to 1800. And flip a coin to how gold goes on Wednesday. I really don't have a strong feel for it, but I am willing to follow price. So if we do get a breakout to the upside above, 1830, or we get a breakdown under 1750, that'll be a pretty strong signal from the market that you probably would not want to fight, because there's so much energy that's been built up in this range that when we do get a breakdown or a breakout, it's likely to be a pretty powerful move. So we'll just have to see what happens. I'm expecting things to stay pretty range-bound. I don't see the Fed saying something that would cause either a massive move higher in gold or a big drop lower, but I'll keep an open mind.
Are you looking at GDX too, to give you maybe a little insight in terms of where the gold price is going to go? Because we do hear constantly that the stocks can lead the gold price. And unfortunately, GDX has been generally weaker than gold. I know through the month of October, the stocks outperformed gold, but you look at that GDX weekly chart and there's still a pretty defined downtrend and a pretty heavily sloping down line right there. So look, the downtrend is still in place. I realize you can still say that it's kind of consolidating around this level, but to me, GDX still continues to look fairly weak.
Yeah, that's a good observation, Corey. I completely agree with you. The gold miners are not trading well, but I think we also can look at last week
we had quarterly reports from a lot of gold producers, and they were pretty much weak across the board. Signs of cost inflation, lower gold output from a number of companies. So that really whacked the sector. But obviously, you know, you're correct. I won't, you know, try to argue with you there. Generally, when the gold miners have been weak for an extended period of time, it does not bode well for the gold price itself. So we'll just have to see if that holds true yet again. I do kind of hold out hope that we will put in a low here in the sector this month. You know, seasonal tailwinds start to pick up as we get closer to the holidays in the U.S., and tax law season will sort of wind down then as well. So we will see.
Well, Robert, I thought you put out a great video a couple weeks back. It may have been 2 weeks back, and it addressed the issue of short-term noise and how I think that the market has crisscrossed back and forth that $1,800 level in gold. You said too many to count. It was like 20 or 30 times back and forth. And every time it breaks above it, people start going, watch out, it's a breakout. We're going to the moon. And if it goes below it, it's like, uh-oh, watch out below timber. You know, we're going below 1675. We're going to 1500. So there's been a lot of noise. But then you also, in that same video, panned back to a monthly chart. And it was from 2001 when it first started, the gold secular bull market. And you showed how intact it still was overall. The overall larger theme was still there. There's still a easily discernible bullish trend on the bigger macro picture. And sometimes we get stuck in that short-term noise. Any thoughts you'd like to expand on there for investors that are watching the daily blips, but sometimes just need to pan back and take a look at the big picture?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Chad. I mean, you know, one of the most important things that we can do as investors or traders is to be super clear on our time frame. Like, what time frame are we talking about? Am I talking about holding gold as a long-term investment for years or decades? Or am I talking about making a trade on the gold futures or the gold ETF for a day or a week? And unless you're clear on that, you're going to find yourself, you know, stumbling quite a bit in the market. So as traders in the short term, gold is not sending me a strong signal either way here. Just, you know, as I said, you know, a bit earlier in this conversation, I'll wait for that signal to come and I'll see it in the price and volume action. But longer term, this is just a completely normal break, pause, you know, shall we say, in a long-term secular trend higher in gold. You know, we could start back in the 1930s at $20 an ounce, and then we can go to $400 an ounce in the 90s, and then $900 an ounce 10 years ago, and now here we are at around 1800, right? So the trend, the long-term trend is clear, but obviously over a week or a month, it can be far from clear, and it can be very choppy, and that's what we've seen lately.
So Robert, what are you focusing on then when it comes to the stocks? Because as I mentioned on the onset, you share a lot of the stocks that you like and you recap a lot of the news in those stocks with your subscribers. What are you focused on right now? What do you like in the sector?
Well, obviously I've talked for a long time about that, Corey, but right now I've got some cash just waiting for tax loss opportunities to come about over the next few weeks to take advantage of them, hopefully. A company that I've spoken about recently, you know, was Orion, you know, which is AU on the venture. Strong insider buying in that name, a, you know, new discovery in their JV property in Finland in the last 2 weeks. A lot of potential positives in that story. And so I've been accumulating that stock. I wrote an article published a couple weeks ago that really highlighted the opportunity in Orion. The stock has done well since then. Hopefully the gold price doesn't spoil the setup here. So if gold can hang in there and make it through this week, I really like that one to move higher into the end of the year.
It also, I think, is instructive, and maybe you could share the story of how you initially looked at Orion. It was a little bit higher. You know, you thought it maybe had gone a little bit too high in the past. Then you went back to a show, ran into the company, and you saw a different setup. So when you saw that, maybe just walk us through, because this could be applied to other stocks as well. You know, how do you know when something look short-term overbought, and what attracted you to it again when you saw the new setup in it just at that recent mining show you were at?
Well, in 2017, Orion had no drill results, right? So there was a discovery of a boulder field, essentially, in Finland. The boulders were very high-grade gold, but it doesn't mean much until you actually drill it, right? And so it had a $200 million market cap near the peak in 2017, and a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of speculative froth, you know, shall we say. And so generally speaking, just as a veteran in the junior mining sector, when you buy at a high valuation, when sentiment is high and there's a lot of speculation that the results are going to be good in the near future, you usually get disappointed. So while I may have traded it here and there over the last 4 years, I didn't hold a long-term, you know, holding in it, and just kind of bought as a trading vehicle based upon the chart in the short term. But when I was at the conference a couple of weeks ago and I spoke with the company, I realized that, wow, you know, this is kind of the opposite of early 2017, when the share price was high, the valuation was high, and optimism was high. Here we're at a much more reasonable valuation at a sub $100 million market cap. Seems like the market is pretty pessimistic on Orion at this point. They're kind of tired of the story, and there's room for, you know, a lot of upside here. You know, there's room for the company to, you know, surprise to the upside. And the downside is much less than it was 4 years ago, you know, when the valuation was like 3x, right? So that's what had me take a closer look at it. And then when I dug into the project and the management team and the area play, it kind of all made sense to me that this was a really good opportunity.
All right. Well, you know what? Good news can drive some of these stocks. But again, I think everybody is more or less sitting on their hands right now because of the fact that we do have the Fed meeting and we don't know what direction the precious metals are going to move or even how the broad averages are going to react. It should be priced in. But again, a lot will also depend on the press conference after the meeting and what Jerome Powell has to say about future guidance and what the actual Fed is watching. Plus, again, we always have to consider that it also depends on market reaction, because that can also force the Fed's hands. Robert, great chatting with you as always, buddy. It's enjoyable having you back on the show and very fun to read over your daily posts to your subscribers. We're going to have you back on in another couple weeks. So I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we look forward to chatting with you again shortly.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the conversation.